Well, amen. Good evening. I have to explain why I didn't play the game. I've decided in the last few years this body is built for pretty, not for speed. But it's been a delight to be a part of this, and I hope we can get something on the screen. I actually plugged it in tonight. That's progress, but I don't see anything happening. It went to sleep. Is it going to work up there? No signal. Okay. Who needs it anyway, right? Okay. Well, we can review, which we were going to do anyway. So, the subject that we're looking at for these four Wednesday nights is why I need the Bible and why everybody else does too, okay? And we've looked at three reasons why I need the Bible. Can anybody remember what the first one was? Yes, ma'am. Because I'm a sinner and... I need to know God. All right. I'm a sinner. The Bible tells me I'm a sinner. It tells me when I'm wrong. I don't like that. But it tells me when I'm wrong, and then it tells me how to get right. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, then, after I get right, the Bible tells me how to stay right. Okay? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So the Bible helps me to know how I should live. After I get right, I can stay right. But the problem is, without the Bible, I would make up my own God. In the story that Mrs. Brubaker has been telling, those people in Togo made their own God and worshiped that statue, which had a mouth but couldn't speak, and ears that couldn't hear, eyes but couldn't see. In our country, we don't do that so much, but we still have things that we place as the most important thing in life, and that is really the idol that a lot of people make up. Some people make, their own mind is their idol, their own intelligence. Some of us have pretty weak gods, if that was the way we did it. But, that's the way some people are. And without the Bible, I wouldn't know God. So, I'm a sinner, and I need to know God. So I need the Bible for that reason. Can anybody remember what the second reason was? Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, the flashlight. All right. I am naturally in darkness and I need direction. So I need the Bible, which is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, to show me how to make the decisions of life. I have to make lots of decisions. You know, what convictions I'm going to live by, what's right and what's wrong, how I'm going to live. That's really important. What vocation am I going to enter into? What am I going to do for a living? Whom am I going to marry? And what friends should I choose? The Bible gives me guidance in all those areas, gives me direction to help me make right decisions. And then, what goals am I going to follow in life? What is really important to pursue? The Bible gives me that kind of direction. It's my flashlight in helping me to see, to make decisions. Then last week we talked about a third reason why I need the Bible. And what was that? Nathan? all right, I have influence on other people, and they're going to spend eternity somewhere. I have a circle of influence, and so do you. Doesn't make a difference how old you are, there's somebody you influence. And we need to use that influence in the right way so that our friends and the people we contact, they'll be better off because they know us. You know, there's some people that when they associate with other people, the other people become worse. But God holds us accountable for our influence on other people. So we need to show unsaved people how they can be saved. And we need to show Christians how they can grow in grace. We need the Bible for those things. And I should model the Christian life for other people. I am to be an example of the believers so that if people would look at my life and follow the way I live, they would be closer to God. That's the way it's supposed to be for every single one of us. And we need the Bible in order to know how to model the Christian life. Well, there's one more reason that I'm going to consider tonight, and certainly in 4 weeks we can't give all the reasons why we need the Bible. But this kind of sounds a little selfish maybe, but I want happiness. And I would not naturally know how to find it. See, the Bible tells me how I can be a happy person. You know, there are an awful lot of people in the world that are unhappy. I mean, you just look at their faces and they're grumpy and grouchy and miserable and selfish. And, you know, and they want everybody to do things to please them, and everybody else wants them to do something to please them. You know, so everybody's unhappy because other people aren't trying to please them. So if my biggest goal in life is for you to please me, and your biggest goal in life is for me to please you, two of us are going to be unhappy. Okay? It doesn't work that way, but that's the way a lot of people try. Boys and girls are selfish and stingy with their toys. They think, I'll be happy if I have all these toys for myself. And don't you touch my toys, because I'm happy with them. Does that sound happy? No. No. And big boys and girls say, don't you touch my things, because I'm happy with them. And they're not very happy. You see, I wouldn't know how to find happiness if I didn't have the Bible. Now, Psalm 1:1. Who could quote that verse for me tonight? Psalm 1:1. Raise your hand if you can quote that verse. Starts with a word that means happy. Way, standeth in the way of sinners, nor? Good, good, good. If we had gold stars, I'd put one right on your forehead, Richard. That's a good job. The word blessed means happy. It's just sort of like the psalmist was sitting there thinking about the man who didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly and didn't stand in the way of sinners, didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. In other words, he didn't hang around ungodly people, didn't have a bad attitude. And he was just sort of like he was just sitting there thinking and just burst out, oh, the blessedness of the man that doesn't do those things. But verse 2 says, who can quote verse 2? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The happy person is not one who hangs around an ungodly crowd and has their bad attitudes. The happy person is one who gets his mind focused on the Bible and he thinks about the Bible. And so the Bible guides his decisions and his attitudes and his convictions and all the things that we've been talking about. And the result is he's a happy man or woman, okay? He's a happy person or she's a happy person because his delight is in the law of the Lord, in God's word, in the Bible. You know, some people think the Bible's a boring book. Those are unhappy people. Okay? But somebody who delights in the Bible and says, wow, this is wonderful. Look what God said in his book. This is great. I needed this. This is such a help to me. Those are happy people. When they come to church, they listen to the preaching and say, wow, I needed that. Instead of saying, oh no, we got to hear preaching again, you know. Like, preaching is a bad thing. Preaching is a good thing if it's preaching from the Bible. Now, there's bad preaching that doesn't come from the Bible. But if it's from the Bible and we delight in the Bible and we think, we meditate upon it day and night, we're going to be happy people. Now, that's not the way most people approach life, right? People think they'll find happiness through pleasure or possessions or popularity. People think those things are what I need to be happy. If I just have a lot of money and a lot of things, I'll be happy. Or if I can just have a lot of pleasure and all, everything is fun, then I'll be a happy person. Or if I can be popular and everybody knows who I am and they think I'm important, then I'll be happy. You know, the truth is, the Bible tells us about those three things in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. And it says, all that is in the world, and it lists those three things we just talked about, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's not of the Father, but is of the world. You see, if our focus is on pleasure, that's the lust of the flesh. If our focus is on possessions or money, that is the lust of the eyes. If our focus is on being popular, that's the pride of life. There are people who have all of those things who are still very unhappy people. You know, you think of celebrities with a lot of money and fame and all those things, and you think they'd all be happy people. But there have been awful lot of examples of famous, wealthy people taking their own lives because they were so miserable. Or they get into alcohol or drugs to try to forget about how miserable they are in life. But if they just get in the Bible and listen to what it says and meditate upon it and let it control their thoughts, they'd be happy people. You know, the God who made me knows how to make me happy. He knows what it is that really makes me happy. And it's not having things. You know, if I focused on having things, I would just never have quite enough to be happy. I'd always want a little more than I've got now. If you go down the street and say to people, do you have enough money? Do you know what people are going to tell you? No, I don't have enough money. Doesn't make a difference how much they have. But they don't have enough. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, the Bible says. If people are focused on pleasure, they'll never have enough pleasure to be happy or satisfied and say, okay, that's enough pleasure. Now I've had enough of it. Now I'm satisfied and I'm a happy person. It doesn't work that way. The things that people do for pleasure only produce more cravings. They don't satisfy. But you get into the Bible and learn to love it, and you think about it, what it teaches, let it control your thought life, you meditate on it day and night, you hide its words in your heart, you're going to be a happy person. You see, John chapter 13, verse 17 says this: if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, there's two ifs in that verse, okay? It's sort of like if we had a boat, we'd have a motorboat if we had a motor, okay? there's two ifs here, two things that are essential for our happiness that Jesus told us would make us happy. Two things. It wasn't money. It wasn't pleasure. It wasn't popularity. Knowing God's word and doing it. You see, there are a lot of people in the world like this young man we've heard in the missionary story who are unhappy because they don't know these things. Sounded like a pretty miserable life he was leading until he came to know Jesus as his Savior. There are a lot of people who are unhappy because they just don't know the Bible truth. But you know, there are also some people who know what the Bible says and they don't do it. Those are unhappy people also. Probably those are even more unhappy than the ones who don't even know. Because they live constantly violating God's word and knowing that's the case. That would really be an unhappy way to live. I do want to be happy. I don't want to be an old grouch and grump and miserable and complaining about everything all the time. I don't want to be that way. I want to be a happy person. As long as I'm alive and going to be around, I might as well enjoy it. That's the way I look at it, you know. Why not? But I wouldn't figure that out by myself. I have to learn from the God who made me how I will work the best. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. I really need the Bible. But you do too. And let's make it a daily part of our lives, not just something we bring to church on Sunday and Wednesday, but daily in our lives. Looking into God's word, feeding upon it. It's the milk if we're baby Christians. It's our meat if we're mature Christians. It's the lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. We hide its words in our hearts so we won't sin against God. When we meditate upon it and delight in it, it brings us blessedness and happiness. And we have a responsibility on how we influence other people. Because they will also spend eternity somewhere, and we must be sure that we are the best possible influence that we can be on them. We really need the Bible. Let's bow for prayer. Just before I pray and turn to the service of the pastor, I wonder if there might be some of you who would say, Pastor Surratt, I have neglected the Bible in my life. And I know it's wrong. I know that things don't work the way I have them figured out. But I'm willing to follow the God who made me and listen to his instruction. Maybe there's some of you who would say, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, but I need to really make the Bible a daily habit of my life. Or maybe there's some who would say, I realize that I haven't used my Bible to influence other people for eternity like I should. Or maybe you'd say, I haven't made good decisions because I haven't gone to the Bible to get principles from God's Word in making the decisions of my life. Or maybe you'd say, I don't even know for sure that I'm saved. Whatever it is spiritually that you need from the Bible, God has the answer for you, and there's no other answer that will work. I wonder if there might be some of you tonight who say, Pastor Surrett, I would like you to pray for me spiritually. I have a need spiritually to make the Bible that part of my life that God intended it to be, and I need to not only know it, but to do it. Pray for me. And there's some of you like that who just lift a hand and special way be asking for prayer. God bless you. Thank you. Yes, I see those. Amen. God bless you. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, how precious it is. Thank you that it's so practical, so helpful in our daily lives. And Lord, we need what you have given to us in the Bible. Help us to use it. I pray for these who've requested prayer that you'd help them in a special way. But Lord, may all of us be willing to apply the scripture to our hearts and lives. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.